We're preaching through the book of John. We're in John chapter number 5 today. John 5, 1 through 9. John chapter 5, 1 through 9. I would like to say we are teaching through John, but we're really not. We're just skipping around and just going chapter by chapter. And I hope that you brought your Bible with you today. It was good to share with Brother Campbell and Mrs. Campbell their 45th wedding anniversary yesterday. And we renewed their vows. And Brother Campbell, I hope he does a better job after I've done it again than he did before. I've been talking to his wife, and she said we needed to renew those things. I'm glad you're here today. I trust that you came because you wanted to hear from God, not because you wanted to criticize or empathize or nationalize or citizenize. It don't make no difference to me. Notice you have your Bible, if you would please, John chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible said, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. For you folks who were not present last week, after this, referring back to the healing of the nobleman's son in chapter number 4. So after Jesus had healed the nobleman's son, after he had saved the lady at the well, after he had met Nicodemus in chapter number 3 and got him saved, and after he had changed the water to wine in John chapter number 2, after this, he went up to Jerusalem again, because it was the feast of the Jews. Now, of course, if you've been traveling with us through the book of John, you know that in John chapter 2 and verse 13, he previously had gone to Jerusalem because it was the feast of the Passover. Now, again, in chapter number 5, he's gone to Jerusalem for another feast, and that is the feast of Pentecost, which took place 50 days after the Passover. And by the way, 50 days after Jesus was crucified, Peter preached at Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved. Significant, isn't it? So Jesus goes to Jerusalem, not necessarily to attend the feast, because he knew that there would be a tremendous crowd of folk at Jerusalem. Because every Jewish young man was obligated to go to the Feast of Pentecost. So Jesus decided to go to Jerusalem. Verse 2, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. Recently, excavation has discovered those 5 porches surrounding the pool there in Jerusalem. The Bible proves excavation, not excavation proves the Bible. Science never proves the Bible. The Bible proves science. Don't get the cart before the horse, amen? Just like they've always said, there's no king by the name of Belshazzar. And recently they have discovered a king by the name of Belshazzar. Are you glad you got a word that is inerrant, infallible, and correct in every facet? Well, and these lay in these, the porches laid a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. And a certain man was there. You say, why didn't you read verse 4? Because it's not in all the other Bibles. And if you got a Bible that is not a King James, I would have thrown you off, because your Bible hadn't got verse 4. And it is so seductive and deceptive, it don't even tell you that verse 4 was in there. That's the reason we've got this one. And you say, well, they say it's not supposed to be in there. Who's they? It's good enough to about 100 years ago. Then all of a sudden we started taking them out and putting them in and changing them. So since you're old-fashioned, and since you believe you have the word in your hand, let's read verse 4. And if your Bible don't have it in it, just take it for granted. We're reading it right, would you? For the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. By the way, that's not what Jesus asked him. We're so quick to excuse ourselves. When Jesus asked a direct question, sir, would you like to be made whole? The guy could say yes or no. He did not answer yes or no. He said, I got nobody to help me. Sounds just like Baptist folk, don't it? Always got an excuse. Always got a reason why we are like we are. Jesus just asked him, hey man, would you like to walk away from here? He said, I got nobody. You know why you're in trouble you are? It's not anybody else. It's us. Now the Bible said, the impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day, there was the Sabbath. Our Father, please, for just a moment now, work in my heart that I might say the things that would please thee. And then, Lord, work on the heart of the listener that they may accept those things that would please thee. Today, our goal in this place is to just please you. And the book of John is not a series of events that we should encompass our thoughts about. The book of John is all about Jesus. And we ought to encompass our thoughts around him, because he is the one that really matters today. And I pray that we'd honor and glorify you in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Jesus came to Jerusalem in verse number 1. We see that in our Bible. Feast of the Jews, the Pentecostal feast. Every Jewish young man was obligated one time in his lifetime to make the pilgrimage, wherever he was, to go to this place. Now, notice, if you please, Jesus did not come to Jerusalem for religious reasons. I hope today, by God's grace, you're not here today for religious reasons. If you're not here to please the Lord Jesus, then that's all said and done. We ought to be here to please him. Is that not so? He did not go to Jerusalem for fellowship. Although there was lots of Jewish young men there that day. And he went there not for fellowship, not for social activities. Jesus always had a divine reason for everything he did. Notice, if you would please, in verse number 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. At the wedding of Canaan, do you think maybe it was just an accident that Jesus was there when the joy of the party was removed? The wine was depleted, and wine is significant of joy, and when the wine was gone, the joy was gone. As I look across the faces of most Baptists, I see probably the joy has gone. The thrill of being saved is gone. We're here because it's Sunday. And I want you to know it's only Sunday until 12. We are here. We don't like it. But we really don't like it after 12. Now, Jesus always had a reason. And when he showed up the wedding, he was not doing the officiating. He was there because it was an opportunity to show the deity of God. And he turned the water to wine and everyone was astounded. Is that not so? You go with Jesus throughout the book of John and you'll find him at the wedding of Cana just at the right time. You'll find him in the streets of Jerusalem in chapter number 3 as a religious fanatic by the name of Nicodemus by night who came to Jesus by night, and Jesus just happened to be in the right place. I want you to know today, Jesus does everything according to a divine purpose. John chapter 4, he said, I must needs do what? Must needs go through Samaria. He wasn't going to a fellowship meeting. He wasn't going to a social. He wasn't going to Chow Down Sunday. He was going through Samaria. Does anybody remember why he went through Samaria? He was not going to a fellowship meeting. He knew there would be a woman of ill repute. He knew there'd be a woman that was marked with immorality. He knew that there'd be a woman at the well. And he went through Samaria to do what? To lead this lady to Jesus Christ. And then the nobleman's son. And now we see at the pool of Bethesda. Notice, Jesus went to a place. Notice verse 2 and 3. Please let me help you. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Now listen, impotent folk, not wealthy, not high in the social realm of the city. Not the up and ups, but the down and outs. Jesus went to where needy people were. Notice the Bible said there was blind folk, there were halt folk, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Our Lord always went where needy people were. Are you needy today? I am very needy today. I am in need of divine wisdom. I am in need of holy compassion. I am in need today to just remain truthful and courteous, truthful and kind, truthful and yet godly. I know you don't have any needs today. I can tell where you're looking. You're surprised that I have needs. But Jesus only deals with people who have needs. If you're sufficient, you don't need Jesus. If you can do it by yourself, he'll let you. If you can say it and live up to it, he'll let you. Is there anybody here today like the folk by the pool, kind of impotent, kind of unable, kind of incapable. Kinda sometimes feel like you're walking this old world all by yourself. Is anybody here like that today? Is any parents here today like me that feels a total failure? Are there any husbands here today like me who feel like a total washout? Is there any men here today that kind of feel like you could have been a lot more manlier? Is there a Christian here today that would say with me, I'm a complete failure of being like my Savior? Is there anybody here today laying about the pool with other impotent failures, waiting, needing a touch from God Almighty? Is there anybody else around here that's a failure? Has any sinners gathered in this place today? Are all we with rocks ready to cast our stones at everybody else who's failed at one time or another? I'm just saying. Now I want to help you a little bit. All around that pool, several, maybe even hundreds of withered and sick and blind and halt, laying about the pool in dire need. Notice this verse, and a certain man. Is that what it said? Is that what your Bible said? Did your Bible say down in verse 5, not just any man? All the withered and all the sick and all the lame and all the halt, Jesus picked one. Says God's will that everybody be healed. Why didn't he heal all of them then? There is a divine purpose. And the divine purpose and the message today is not the healing of the man. Because if it had been God's will that everybody be healed and everybody be healthy and everybody to be wealthy and everybody to be wise, then Jesus would just done a blanket healing and said, everybody get up and walk. Am I about on trail? Did he say a certain man? A certain man, listen now, at a certain place, at a certain time, with a certain need, for a certain purpose, with a certain message, and even today, 2,000 years later, the message is still the same. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And Jesus Christ can do what needs to be done to anybody who has that need. A certain man. Would you let me play around with that just a minute? Is the cowgirls playing? You got to argue this guy on the front row if you think he ain't playing, and he's bigger than I am. What time do they start, brother? 12. Oh, we got two. I'll try to help you. A certain man. He went to Jerusalem at the sheep market where the stench was. Where the down and outers are. Where the failures of society is. for the dregs of all humanity lay. Those who cannot help him, he goes to where he can help them. He went to the pool. And he found a certain man. You know, today, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're a certain individual in a certain place with a certain need. I don't know what it is to hear a certain message at a certain time. You say, well, I know somebody ought to be here. Yeah, but they're not. You say, boy, this would help them. No, it wouldn't help them. There's people in this auditorium that's got me shut out just as much as the folks who's outside the door ain't even listening. This is not for them. This is for those who are here today. Amen. A certain message for a certain person with a certain need at a certain time. Notice. This man, he had in his life, he had a desire. His desire. And I want you to look at that. His desire was to be helped. Have you ever heard this? I didn't get a thing out of church. Have you heard that? I'd go, but I don't get anything out of it. Well, what did you want out of it? What did you bring to put it in? See, my sermons don't fit in buckets. They fit in hearts. And if you just brought your bucket and left your heart out yonder where your hobbies are, I can't help you. See, this is not hobby time. This is church time. And if you brought your hobby heart, you should have kept your hobby heart and your hobby butt at home. You see, I didn't like that language. I didn't ask you. Are you out of shock yet? You should have seen the women. Did he say that? Yeah. Well, I didn't get anything out of church. If I could look at your report cards, you probably didn't get anything out of school either. You see, this guy, Jesus could work with him because he had a desire. Amen. He had a desire to be helped. But you can help some folk. Right. Some folk just don't need help. And I just asked you today, did you come to church to get help? I need help. I need help to be the kind of husband my wife deserves. I need tremendous help in trying to be the daddy that my kids deserve. And I need help being a daddy to adults because I've been a daddy to kids all my life and I just have not any experience at being a daddy to adults. And I got news for you. You adults don't have any experience at being daddy at either. Well, I'm paying my own bills now. Bless God. You can just shut up. That's why God said, kids, honor your parents. And did not put until you're married. You're to honor your parents in all things until you are dead. Well, my daddy's dumb. Genetics run downhill, don't they? I'm feeling good today. A preacher, I just didn't get anything out of that. May I come back to this, that the man was at the pool because he had a desire, he needed help. And I say to you, did you come to seek God today? Can God help you? Did you come today expecting God to help you? Did you come today willing to be delivered from the things that's hindering and things that... Did you come today to get answers, or you just... Or did you just come? Charles Spurgeon, as a young man, went to church one day, came back home, told his mama, "Mama, I got saved today and joined the Baptist church." And the mom looked at him and said, "Well, I've been saying and been praying that you get saved, but I have not been praying that you join the Baptist church." Dr. Spurgeon said, "See, Mom, God always gives you more than you ask for." Hey, if you came expected, if you came open today, you came expecting God to do something. Amen. Listen to me. God always gives us more than we expect. Amen. Amen. God always delivers when He comes. And so He came expecting. Secondly, I noticed something in the story, and I must hurry because I hear Jerry calling. Notice not only his desire, but his deficiency. I read for you, if I may, please, verse 5 and 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." I was thinking about that little old phraseology. Nothing of myself I bring, only to His cross I cling. You see, the man had nothing to offer. And his deficiency, you'll have to realize, he just could not help himself. You know, I was that way. Any of you been that way? Amen. Take a marriage situation and things start going awry and little things start cropping up and all them little things begin to make big things and molehills turn into mountains. Seem like everything you do, the other person receives wrong. Walking around the house on eggshells, trying to make everything go. You ever been there? Come on, have you ever been there? Just go. Have you ever been there? Maybe at the job, trying to please the boss, trying to do this, trying to do this, and all of a sudden, everything you do just seems like they receive it wrong. You ever been there? The man just could not help himself. You having trouble helping yourself?
Amen.
Not works of righteousness, which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. Amen. By the washing of the Word and regeneration of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I don't know a better example of this young man right here that I could find in all the Bible. But in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. And when he decided and when he had come to the end of himself. You remember that? When he had completely exhausted all of his finances. Found out who his true friends really were. You know how you find out who your true friends are? Let adversity walk in the door. And you'll notice those fair weather friends will walk out the other door. Amen. And the Bible says when the prodigal son in verse number 19, when he realized that I am no more worthy to be called thy son, when he totally came to the end of himself, when he realized his deficiency that he could not help himself, that's when he decided to go back to the Father and tell the Father, you were right, I were wrong, I'm sorry, I repent. If you want me to clean out the sheep pens, I'll do it. I'm unworthy to be your son.
Amen.
That's when his Father placed the ring on him. That's when the Father placed the robe on him. And that's when he said, go kill the fatted calf. Now, our problem is, most of us ain't never been to the end of ourself and realize that we are no better than anybody else.
Amen.
And we all are totally unworthy to be the child of God. His deficiency. Notice I hurry along his distraction. Verse 6 through 8. See, in verse 6 through 8, it describes for us, many of us can get distracted pretty easy, can we not?
Yes.
For instance, 12 o'clock. Today, our thoughts is on who's going to win. Distracted. It's okay. Easy, isn't it?
Yes.
Deer season. Easy, isn't it? Car show. Racetrack. Coon hunting. Getting camouflage ready? I called Jim. I called Mary yesterday and I said, where's Jim? She said, I think he's getting camouflage ready. I said, we're sneaking up on sinners now, right?
All things to all men.
All things to all men that we might all shoot some, right? Is it easy? Is it easy to get distracted?
Yes, sir.
Is it easy to go to the pool?
Yes, sir.
The church?
Yeah.
Knowing we need help, but yet become distracted? Verse 6. You saw him lie there. Verse 7, impotent. Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Verse 7, the Bible says that the impotent man answered him, said, sir, I have no man. Here is a man that just like most of us is looking in the wrong places for the help we need. We're looking at the wrong sources. Well, if we can just get the right marriage counselor, you can. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
If we can just get the right outline for a marriage, we have it, the King James Bible.
Amen.
If I could just get some more pills, I could probably settle down. The greatest deal for the world's greatest deal is the gospel.
Amen.
We've got the answer. It's just we got distracted. We've been distracted through education, been distracted through psychology, been sidetracked by friendly seekers and seeker-friendly and compromise, everything. Listen, the man was sidetracked. He was looking at the wrong place for help.
Amen.
If I just change my environment, I just change my actions, I'd be a better person. No, you need a new person in the suit. You don't need a new suit on the person.
Amen.
It's inside. Amen. The man was sick. He was impotent because of an inward problem. He could not move. He could not walk. So he'd been satisfied all this time, sitting on his pallet down by the pool, begging and depending on society. So why should guy want to be healed? If he gets healed, he's got to be responsible for himself. Well, this guy would just do anything to get healed. Really? Really? If some man could do it, if some man would take care of it. But our need is not from man. Our need is from God.
Amen.
Notice, if you would please, I'd kind of help you, like to help you a little bit. He said, I have no man, and bless your heart, no man would or no man could help him. We need a Savior, not a salve. Ours is not outward, ours is inward, and until we get God on the inside, it ain't going to work.
Amen.
Notice Jesus said three things to the guy, and I'm going to close. Notice he said three things. Look at this. Rise. Is that what he said? Guy sitting there said, okay, I will after you heal me. Let me make sure this is going to work before I jump up. Jesus is looking for faith. Jesus didn't say get up when you're better. He said get up right now. Now you say, well, I'll get saved. No, no. If you get saved, you'll do it right now. Rise, the Bible said, rise. And so Jesus looked at the guy, and I'll guarantee if I'd been sitting on that pallet, I'd have said, now, I'm not sure this is going to work. Jesus said, get up. But I've got no man. Jesus said, get up. Who's going to help me up? Get up. Get up. Get up. Well, I'll get saved one of these days. No, you won't. Get up and do it right now, you're not going to get done.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to fix my home. Well, when? Get up. Let's do it right now. I'm going to join a church one of these days. Really? What's wrong right now?
Amen.
Jesus said, do it now. Rise. That's what he said. Is that what he said? Well, he said, rise. Then he said, take up thy bed. Wonder what that means. Jesus said, once I do something for you, you ain't never coming back this place again. You're not going to get that pallet you've been sitting on for 38 years once I do something for you. Your life is going to be different. Everything is going to be coming up roses. You are going to be a new person in Jesus Christ, a brand new creature. Old things are passed away. Pick up that bed, and when you go by the dumpster on your way out, throw it in the dumpster. You won't be needing that dude. Throw your cup in there. Throw your little begging tools in there. Throw your beggar's equipment in there. You are out of here. Arise, take up thy bed. Yeah, kind of worry about Christians who still doing the same thing they did before they got saved. Hanging around the same old places. Dragging their same old death clothes. The Bible said Christians are dead to sin. Dead to the pool. Dead to the bed that you're lying on. Hey, arise. Take up thy bed. Lastly, he said walk. He said show somebody that you've had something done for you. I mean, do a couple of wheelies around this pool. Do a jumping jack and hit your head on the porch. But whatever you do, since I showed up and since I've done something for you, arise, take up thy bed, and show everybody else that Jesus has come to town. I know you're probably a secret CIA servant for Jesus. Yeah. You're undercover. Baptist remind me of the fella walking his dog years ago. And I don't know why folk walk their dog in my yard. Why don't they walk the dog in their yard? Do you know why they walk the... If you come over my house and walk my yard, you'll find out why they're walking it in my yard. Fellow walking his dog down the street. He sees a friend coming his way. And his friend said, "Is that your dog?" He said, "Yes, sir. That's my dog." His friend said, "I didn't know you had a dog." So, yeah, I had this dog a long time. "So what kind of dog is he?" He said, "He's a police dog." Guy said, "Don't look like no police dog to me." Guy said, "Of course not. He's in the Secret Service." Know any Christians? You know any Christians? They're in the Secret Service. They don't look like a Christian. They don't smell like a Christian. They don't talk like a Christian. They don't dress like a Christian. I know what you are. You're undercover. Either that or a phony. Arise. Take up thy bed. Be different. And walk and show everybody that Jesus has done something for you. Well, yeah, I'm done. After this last point. You ever notice they don't cut the ball games off just to suit you? Next time you want some tea in the middle of a football game, call Jerry and say, "Hold this thing up, Jerry, I got to go get some tea." That's when I'll start cutting the service off to appease your habit. Notice not only his desire, his deficiency, his distraction. Glory be to God. Notice his deliverance in the last verse. His deliverance in verse number 9. I like this. You say, "Preacher, you're crazy." I know it. And immediately. Let's stop right there. Immediately. And immediately. Do you know that Jesus is quicker than quick? Faster than fast. Immediately, he was made whole. He didn't have to work into it. He didn't have to go to several sessions. This impotent man who came, bless your heart, with a desire to be helped, with a deficiency that he could not help himself, and distracted by everything the world had to offer, met the Savior and was completely, immediately delivered. Now, I don't know what this story might say to you, but it says to me that the sovereign Savior, the seeking shepherd, came to Jerusalem and went to the stinking sheep market to find one single certain lost sheep. And when he had found him, he met every need he had completely. Now that's why Christianity is special. The Muslims would have shot him. The Mormons would have fed him full of peanut butter. But Jesus met his every need.
Amen.
It's not about me. It's not about an impotent man laying by the pool. It's all about Jesus. And if you came today wanting help with what's bothering you, Jesus can take care of it. If you came expected, if you came open, if you came willingly, if you came realizing that you have a need, he can meet every need in your life. But now, is the day. Now is the accepted time.